Once there was a time when all the elements of earth, sea, and sky lived on the land together in many, many villages.
Many years ago, back in the old country, there lived a holy, sweet couple who loved each other so very much.
A long time ago, in a village somewhere in Tamil Nadu, there lived a monkey.
There was once a man, tall and handsome, who met a woman, beautiful and elegant, and they fell in love with each other.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. Hello, lovely story listeners, and welcome to season 3 of the podcast. In the weeks I was away, I have connected with some incredible storytellers, some as far away as Australia, and I've heard your request for short interviews, so there is a lot to look forward to this season. Summer has arrived in Colorado, and the other afternoon I took a picnic out on a grassy hill at a park. I packed sandwiches and strawberries and a bottle of lemonade. The day was one of those 10 perfect days that happen in summer. Light breezes across the tops of dandelions and the smell of fresh mown grass. I spread out the blanket from my car, the wool one that is blue and white, and I leaned my back against a tree. I ate part of the sandwich and then got into the strawberries. They were so sweet, and I ate them quickly, the juice turning the tips of my fingers red. Just as I opened my mouth to eat the last one, I heard this chatter, and I looked over to see a squirrel 4 feet away from me. He was staring at my strawberry like it was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen, his glossy black eyes opened wide. Sitting up on his haunches, he held out his paws as if asking, no, pleading, for the treat in my hand. Now, I know that it's bad form to feed animals in the wild, but he was looking at me with such intensity, I couldn't help it. I carefully held out the strawberry as far as I could reach, and he took a few steps towards me, and with the dignity of a queen accepting a cup of tea, he took it from my fingers. He looked in my eyes and nodded as if to say thank you, and then scampered off into the bushes. Now, the first storyteller we'll hear today is Alton Chung, a storyteller who brings to life stories from Hawaii and Japan and many other countries, and was sweet enough to fit me into his schedule for an interview. We'll hear him talk about his favorite books as a child and more, but right now, he'll tell us The Grateful Statues.
In Japan, a long, long time ago, on the side of a mountain, there lived an elderly couple. There was the old man, Ji-chan, grandfather, and his wife, the old woman, Oba-chan, grandmother. This couple was very poor. They would take straw and weave it into hats, and then the old man, Ji-chan, would take the hats down the mountain to the village in the valley below and sell them to buy the things that they needed. Oh, it was a hard life. One day, the old man's bones began to ache. As the pain grew, he looked back upon his poor life and grew sour. He felt sorry for himself and began to complain bitterly.
In 2 days, it will be New Year's. I wish that we had some mochi, some rice cakes, that we might be able to welcome the New Year properly, said
Ji-chan, rubbing his bald head, as he did when he didn't know what to do.
Oh, husband, why don't you take these 5 hats down into the village and sell them? Oh, then you can buy mochi and we can have it for New Year's.
And that's what the old man did. He put the 5 hats onto his pack and began the long hike down the mountainside to the village below. On the way down the mountain, there was a shrine by the side of the trail with six statues. Four were dedicated to Jizu, the protector of children. There was also a statue dedicated to the god of the river. But the largest statue was dedicated to the god of the mountain. The old man would always stop at the shrine on his way to and from the village. He would burn incense, say prayers, and leave little offerings to the gods. As was his custom, the old man stopped at the shrine and said,
"Ah, my friends, it is good to see you. It has been a while since my last visit. Oh, it has been a hard winter, and I am no longer young. My bones ache. Still, tomorrow will be New Year's Day, and I would be most grateful if you were to confer your blessings upon my wife and myself." Ah.
And the old man went down the mountain to the village. But when he got there, everyone was rushing about trying to get their marketing done and to head home. For you see, a storm was coming. It had turned cold, and soon it began to snow. By the end of the day, he had not sold any of his hats, and it had begun to snow very hard. The old man packed up his hats and then made his way back up the mountain without any mochi for New Year's. And when the old man reached the shrine on his way back up the mountain, he stopped and said,
My friends, this will not do.
And he began to dust the snow off the heads and shoulders of the statues. And then he got an idea. He took off his pack and pulled off the straw hats and began tying them onto the heads of the statues. He tied hats onto the four little statues of Jizu, the protector of children. He tied another onto the head of the statue of the god of the river. When he came to the statue of the god of the mountain, he realized that he had run out of hats.
"Oh, my goodness, I have no hat for you. I am sorry."
The old man did not know what to do. Should he take the hat from one of the other statues? Could he make another hat for the god of the mountain? He took off his own hat and began to rub his bald head. Then he looked at his own hat.
"Oh, I know."
He then tied his own hat onto the head of the statue of the god of the mountain.
"There you are, my friends. Happy New Year."
And the old man hurried on home. And when the old man got home, he was nearly frozen.
"Oh, you silly old man. What happened to your hat? Come inside and warm yourself by the fire,"
chided his wife. The old man then told her all that he had done. And when she heard the story, his wife said,
"Ah, that is a good thing, a very good thing. Oh, we have no mochi to celebrate New Year's, but we will be all right."
And after dinner, the old couple went to bed. But in the middle of the night, they were awakened by someone knocking at their door. Who could it be this time of night? Well, they lit a lantern and they carefully opened the shoji screen door, the rice paper screen door. And there, standing at their front door, were six stone statues, all wearing straw hats. And then the largest one, the one of the god of the mountain, spoke.
"Good evening. Thank you for your compassion. In repayment for your kindness, we have brought gifts."
And the four little statues of Jizu, the protector of children, each came forth and gave a mochi, a little rice cake, to the old couple.
"Mochi, that you may never know hunger."
And then the statue of the god of the river stepped up and gave the couple a bottle of sake, rice wine.
"Sake, that you may always remember the sweetness of life."
Then the statues of the god of the mountain stepped forward and gave them a little bundle of dried leaves.
"And finally, my gift to you, fine mountain tea, that you may always have good health and long life. Happy New Year!"
And the six stone statues then turned and disappeared into the darkness.
Well, the old couple was amazed. They could not believe it, what had just happened. They set the mochi and the sake aside to enjoy the next morning on New Year's Day. But as it was cold, they decided to boil water for tea. It was the most marvelous, delicious tea they had ever tasted. And at last, they went back to sleep. The next morning, New Year's Day, the man yawned and stretched and looked over to the woman laying next to him. But what was this? This woman was not his wife, but rather the most beautiful young woman he had ever seen. Oh, who are you? And the woman yawned and stretched and turned to look at the man sitting up, staring at her. But what was this? This man was not her husband, but rather the most handsome young man she had ever seen. Oh, who are you? And that is when they realized the true gift of the statue of the god of the mountain. It had given back to them their youth. And the couple rose and enjoyed the mochi and the sake, and they vowed they would never forget to enjoy the sweetness of life.
Started with the first question. What was your favorite story or book as a child?
Well, I was a very unusual child. when I was growing up, I wanted to be many things. And I got interested in whales. I really wanted whales. I don't know why. And dinosaurs and whales, anything big, I suppose. And the book that I kept borrowing from the library and kept pestering my parents until they finally bought me a copy was a book called Sharp Ears by John Beatty. It was written back in 1938. It's a book about a sperm whale. It's a baby sperm whale and how it grows up and travels around the world. And, it has a blend of story and science and had whales in it. And so I was just thrilled by that. The other book that I really, both of these books I still have in my collection. The other book is, it's an old book. It's called The Naughty Badger, a favorite story from Japan. I call it Tanuki and Usagi when I recorded this. Tanuki is the white rabbit and Usagi is, Tanuki is a mischievous badger-like creature that lives in Japan and Usagi is the white rabbit. And so it's these friends who, one does something that's very bad and the other, punishes him and makes him atone for it. Mm-hmm. It's a classic Japanese folktale.
So you have that recorded on one of your CDs?
I believe Tanuki and Usagi is on my Spiderweaver and Other Tales from Asia CD, I believe.
Fantastic. Now, we will have just heard you tell the story, The Grateful Statues. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, where did that story come from? And what were your favorite parts of creating and telling that story?
Again, The Grateful Statues is a traditional Japanese folk tale, and it's in a book by, I believe, Florence Sakai, written back in 1958 or so. Again, it was one of these books I had in my childhood. There are many versions of this story, and so I kept telling it and telling it and working it, and I think the things that I really enjoyed about that story was at the very end, the large statue begins to speak with a very deep voice. I enjoyed that. That's, my Darth Vader impression. But the other really cool thing is at the end, the folktale kind of ends and then, they live happily ever after. But I wanted to add a little bit more magic to it. And so each of these gifts, that whole thing about gifts and each gift had to celebrate New Year's, yes, but to restore the youth of this old couple, to me, that was something that I added that I just really wanted. And that little comic relief where, they wake up in bed the next morning, they look at each other, who are you? Who are you? and then realizing, that pulling it back together again, that to always remember and celebrate the tradition, the sweetness of life. To me, that was something that, when I created that, I was like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
And that's what I loved about the story too. I thought it was sweet and funny all the way through. And then when you got to that part, I was laughing out loud and people were looking at me, but I just I loved it. It was so sweet to hear that part of the story.
Honestly, we've all wanted to be someone at some point or another. Let Wolf and Sheep's Clothing Emporium help you find the right outfit for your other personality. Wolf and Sheep's Clothing Emporium has plaid for the dandy wanting to be a lumberjack. Servant girls can finally rent the silk dresses they put on the princesses every day. Wolf and Sheep's Clothing Emporium is proud to offer the latest peasant styles for kings and queens who wish to don a disguise and walk amongst the people. We have sackcloth and artisan's mud from the finest slums in your city. Wolf and Sheep's Clothing Emporium. Dress for the character you want to be. The cloud started rolling in as soon as I finished my sandwich and drank the lemonade. It was one of those flash summer rainstorms that come through Colorado and cool down the afternoons. When the wind started picking up, I decided it was time to head home, and I gathered up the empty containers and blanket. Now, I was in a hurry to get to the car, as it seemed the rain would start at any moment, and it did, the first drops splattering on my head as I made a dash towards the parking lot. In the 2 minutes it took to get to my car, the rain was pouring down. I took the blanket and held it over my head with one hand and reached into my pocket for my keys. Then I searched both pockets, and then my bag, and then my pockets again. They weren't there. I know I had put my keys in my pocket. They must have fallen out. I looked past the edge of the blanket at the park, wondering where I had dropped them, my heart sinking. I had walked all over the place before settling down under that tree, and they could be anywhere. But then through the torrent of rain, I saw something small bounding across the grass. I wasn't sure what it was. A small dog? A bird? As it got to the edge of the parking lot, it paused and looked both ways for cars, and I realized what it was. A squirrel. And in its mouth, it held my keys. I crouched down under the blanket, and that sweet creature scurried through the rain and under the shelter I was holding out. It set the keys at my feet, and then turned around to run through the rain again. "Thank you," I said out loud. And it turned and looked at me and said, "Thank you for the strawberry." I opened my mouth in shock, not sure what to say. But it had dashed into the storm and was up the nearest tree before I could gather my wits. The next story for you is by a storyteller who knows the Colorado storms all too well. Cooper Brown is a native of Colorado and has the tale, The Thief and the Rich Man.
Once, not so long ago, before each of our world wars, there was a little Jewish town in Poland that is not there today. And in that town, there was a thief. And he was a master thief. His hands, they were like the warm breezes of spring. He could look at you across the street and pass pleasantries, and your purse would be gone. He could wave to you, and your watch would be missing. And everyone in the town, they knew he was a thief, but they could never prove it. And he grew more and more and more rich until he gave up thieving. He sent his children to the finest school, the boys and the girls. He became a prominent member of the synagogue. Things were good until, investments being what they are, there came a day when he lost all his money. But his time in the synagogue, it had worked on his soul. And he refused to go back to his former profession. His money, it dwindled away. His fine new house was sold. Poorer and poorer he grew until there was a day that he sat at the side of the road and begged for bread. But the people, they looked at him. "You who stole our things would come begging money from us? Never!" And finally, there came a day, the day before the Sabbath, when he sat on the stoop of the little hovel he now called home, surrounded by his hungry children, and he wept. And as luck would have it, down the road came the most wealthy man in the town, a prosperous merchant, and he recognized the thief from the synagogue, and he called him over. And the two men, they walked together, and they talked. And as they did, the rich man, he pulled silver coins from his pocket. And he pushed them into the thief's hand. "Feed your children, and honor the Sabbath." And the thief, he took the money, and he did as the rich man instructed. And the next week, again, the rich man returned, and again, they walked and they talked, and again, those coins were counted out, pressed into the thief's palm, feed your children, and honor the Sabbath. And they continued in this way, week after week, month after month, year after year. And their friendship grew. They began to sit next to one another in the synagogue, and as their beards began to grow white and long together, they began to study the Kabbalah, their hands trembling as they turned the pages, their hands trembling as each week they repeated that ritual, the coins passing from one to the other, feed your children and honor the Sabbath. And as it happens in stories, these two men, they died at the same hour on the same day. And at the thief's funeral, there were only his children and a few old rogues who had come to toast a true master of their profession. But at the rich man's funeral, everyone in the town was there, Jews and Gentiles alike. But for all their ceremony and glory, the rich man, he found himself before the gates of paradise. And there were the golden gates, and before them, the great iron scales of judgment, into which would be poured his good deeds and his bad ones. And he had done many good, charitable deeds in his life, but in his dealings as a merchant, he was as much a thief and a liar as his old friend, and he watched those scales turn against him until he was sure he would never see paradise. But in that moment, as the scales hung, he felt a wind blow through his beard. It ruffled the robes of the angels that hung in the sky, and he watched those scales begin to swing. He watched them come into balance and past. He watched the gates of paradise open before him, and he was ushered in to light and music, but he stopped. How is it I can be here? And he was told, your friend the thief, he has stolen your sins.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show notes and more information about the storytellers you heard today can be found at storystorypodcast.com/episode 25. Show the love. Find Alton Chung and Cooper Brown on Facebook. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. In fairy tales, the magic number is 3. So I have 3 things for you to do. 1, like and rate the show on iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. 2, join the mailing list. You will get a link to the podcast delivered to your inbox plus news and other storytelling related goodness. 3, consider becoming a supporter. For as little as $4, the cost of a watermelon in summer, you help support the podcast and will get access to the full interview with Alton Chung, where he tells about how he got started as a storyteller and how he remembers his stories. You also get access to a Story Story Short, which is just what it sounds like, a short story often recorded by the storyteller just for the patrons. The short for this episode is a piece story by Julie Moss and is a tale from China titled The Snipe and the Mussel. You can find out how to support the podcast and join the mailing list at storystorypodcast.com. And a thank you as big as the giant that chased Jack down the beanstalk to those who are donating. If you would like to stay connected, you can find me and the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. Please come say hello, check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors, and let me know the favorite story you've heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. Next episode is about changeling children. For those who don't know, changeling children are the children of the fairies, the other crowd, and oh, the mischief they make. I hope you'll join me again, and until then, live happily ever after.
The wedding lasted for 7 days. I know. I was there.
I would cross 27 countries, wear out 3 pairs of boots, battle 2 giants, and the grandmother of all witches, Baba Yaga, before I was reunited with my frog princess. But that's a story for another time.
The last thing he said before he died was a curse on anyone who would dare to go sing with the fairies.
Just because a story is strange, do not mistake It can also be true.